Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come so that we might hear what you have for us today. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A few years ago, Delmer Sweet handed me an old newspaper clipping, and he said, "I thought you'd be interested in this." And he was right. I've treasured that old clipping ever since. The headline reads, "Evangelistic Services, Selby United Church, Very Well Attended." The short article goes on to say, "Capacity audiences have been in attendance at the revival services held at Selby United Church since the first meeting on December 27th. It goes on, "So far, the spiritual results have been very gratifying and continued interest is expected." The article goes on to explain the preachers and the musicians who participated in the services and to say that meetings would continue for another 11 days. Now, there's no date on the clipping itself, but the minister mentioned in the clipping is W.H. Foley, who was a minister here from 1928 to 1933. What a different time it must have been, that a whole week-long series of evangelistic preaching and music services could pack the house night after night, and so many would come to faith as a result. It's almost hard to imagine today. And yet it happened right here. God moved powerfully in this place. Well, this morning we are celebrating Pentecost. It's a day in the church calendar that normally doesn't get a whole lot of fanfare. I always try to make it a bit of a special event here, but in many churches it goes by like any other Sunday. And I wonder if part of the hesitancy in making a big deal of Pentecost in our tradition is that it's such a strange story. Not that most of our sacred stories aren't a bit odd in their own right, but this one seems a bit hard to tame. This morning we have heard the disciples huddled in a room in Jerusalem, still trying to make sense of the events of Easter. Still trying to make sense of the appearances of the resurrected Jesus. They're in fear for their very lives, and the words of Jesus' great commission still ringing in their heads. So together they're waiting and praying and being together, waiting for Jesus' promised gift, the Holy Spirit. Imagine they weren't quite sure what to expect next. When suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. Suddenly there were tongues of fire and speaking in tongues and the filling of each person with the Holy Spirit, and it drew a crowd. The text tells us that 3,000 people came to faith that day based on this bizarre display. So on this festival day, we celebrate the birthday of the church. Because before Pentecost, there was no church. Just the leftovers of a rather confused bunch of folks trying to make sense of an event that seemed to change everything. But on Pentecost, the first act of the Holy Spirit is to constitute a church, a gathering of people called together for a purpose. To bring a body of unlikely folks together into the new reality created by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But this story causes me to wonder, why doesn't the Spirit do it again? I mean, with the church in such decline in the West, why doesn't the Spirit just do it again? Well, actually, the Spirit does do it again. There is a tremendous history of revival within the church. Over our 2,000-year history, there has been innumerable revivals. Some of you remember revival. One of those revivals in the 1920s was the holiness movement that swept through this whole region, bringing a renewed faith which continues to reverberate in this region in all kinds of ways. But the thing about revival is that it's something that God does. We can't, despite our best efforts, coordinate it or instigate it or sustain it. God is God, and the Spirit moves where it will. As much as I would love to be a minister credited with reviving the church, it's simply beyond my pay grade. I did some reading this week on revival. I'm interested in it. In fact, I pray for revival. I pray for revival not only for our little church, but for all the churches in this region. Because I think that our community would be better off if they were filled with churches where the disruptive movement of the Holy Spirit is at work. There are different types of revivals. Timothy Keller identifies three main types. First, there's what he calls frontier revivals, which are times of evangelistic efforts. The holiness tent meetings of the late 19th and early 20th centuries are good examples of frontier revivals. Events are held, the Holy Spirit moves, people come to faith, and whole communities are transformed. There's also Pentecostal revivals. These are marked by the charismatic gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes people speak in tongues. There are miracles and healings. An example is the Azusa Street revivals in Los Angeles from 1906 to 1915. This revival is credited with the creation of the Pentecostal church. And at first it was viewed as this kind of bizarre fringe movement. Well, today there are more than 220 million people who belong to the Pentecostal church. The Spirit moved. Keller's last type of revival he calls gospel revival. Now, this is where slowly and surely the Holy Spirit goes to work in a particular church or a particular community, and there is transformation. In this kind of revival, sleepy Christians wake up, and nominal Christians are converted, and hard-to-reach folks come to faith. Growth isn't always dramatic, but it's steady. It's called gospel revival because that's how Christianity grew in the Bible, not in leaps and bounds, but steadily. You know, in the year 40, Common Era, there were about 1,000 Christians in the whole world. By the year 350, Common Era, there were 30 million Christians. Historians suggest that it grew at a rate of about 3.5% per year. Every year. Year after year, until it was the largest religion the world had ever seen. Revival. I wonder what our community would look like if God brought a gospel revival today. You know, I do see something happening in our community. It's as if God is setting the stage for something. Once a week, I get together with other pastors from other denominations to read and to pray and to encourage one another. Do you know how unusual that is? Normally, pastors of different denominations critique one another. We compete with one another. We look down our noses at the guys up the street. I just wonder what God is doing when He brings us all together. In the last few months, a whole bunch of churches have popped up. Have you noticed that in our community? One of them, called the Parkway Project, or the Parkway Church, is a church planted by the Wesleyans, our friends up the road, and they've planted a church in Amherstview. Pastor Dusty Crozier is the leader of that church, and after just a month, they have about 100 people meeting in a school gymnasium. I think they're going to do really well. I hope they're going to do really well. In a region where there's 4 or 5 United Churches all sort of hanging on by a thread, the Spirit moves. And then there's Selby. It's almost unusual these days when there isn't someone new with us in worship. What a blessing. God seems to be anointing this sleepy little country church in ways we can't quite account for. I mean, sure, there's lots of people working very hard, investing in the right areas. We have a small army of volunteers doing amazing things here. But there's no doubt that God is at work in the midst of it, blessing our efforts and multiplying it beyond what we could do ourselves. What if it's revival? What if the Spirit is at work? Not in a Pentecostal way, and it's not because we're holding big evangelistic services with famous preachers. But what if God is leading a revival? I don't know for sure. It might just be a blip. Maybe in another few years it'll all calm down and we'll resume the sure and certain decline that secularism says is inevitable. But what if not? But here's a question for us as a church today. Is revival something we want? Because here's the thing. As you look through the history of revival and what transpired because of what God did by His Spirit, it's almost always disruptive. It's inconvenient. It pushes people in directions they don't think they want to go in. When the Holy Spirit descends, things change. One word stuck out for me in this scripture passage this week. Luke writes in Acts, a violent wind came from heaven. Not a gentle breeze or a refreshing gust. A violent wind. Because when the Spirit moves, things can get a little scary. Are we prepared for God's violent wind to blow through our church? Or would we rather keep things a little pinned down, safe, secure, familiar? I like familiar. Jesus says if you want to find your life, you've got to be prepared to lose it. Because it seems that the violence of the Spirit always causes something that we couldn't come up with on our own. No committee or commission could have come up with the first century church. And no charismatic leader could have led the 12 to do what they ultimately accomplished. Simply put, God did it. He did it with a wind that blew so hard that it created a global church that continues to thrive 2,000 years later. I'm not sure what God has in mind for the church today. I occasionally get little flashes of it, little hints at it, but it's not yet fully revealed. But I know that whatever it is, it's not going to be a reenactment of the last 100 years. And that's a problem. If most churches had their way, they wouldn't change a thing. They would attempt to go on living in the fading glow of past renewals rather than risk letting the Spirit create a new one. The Spirit speaks. But this is what I do know. Whatever it is that God has in mind, I want to be part of it. Do you? See, I've tasted in my own life what it is to be led by the Spirit. It's marvelous. All of my other pursuits pale in comparison. But I also know that it is always demanding. It's always disruptive. It always gets a little messy. But if we're not with God, then where are we? Who are we? What's the point? Are we up to the challenge of Pentecost? Are we up to renewal? Or should we leave it to someone else? Because God is God, and the Spirit moves where it will. 90 years ago, God blew through this church to reach beyond itself and to transform a community. And that time of renewal has reverberated through this place for decades. What if he's doing it again? Are we prepared for the wind to blow? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.